and gentlemen, happy Sunday to you all, or should I say my fellow necromancers, my fellow necrophiliacs. It is that time again, and you are listening to Delia's Dark Side on Skid Row Studios, real radio on the internet. And I am your host once again, Delia, and I got a pretty cool show for you guys today. We're going to be talking about some really crazy stories that I actually ran across on the internet this past week. And also, I'm going to be talking about some of my a couple weeks ago, it was salon nightmares. Well, this week, I'm going to be talking about strip club nightmares, back when I used to be a stripper. Because yes, I've had various jobs in my life. And one of them was, yes, I used to be a stripper. And I got some really crazy ass stories to tell you guys. But first off, this one crazy story really got my attention. Now, I was once a single woman living alone in my own studio apartment, you know, just me and my cat. And I remember I had very many lonely nights to where, you know, I would drink and, you know, feel horny or whatever and want to, you know, want somebody to satisfy my horniness. But I never was as bold as this bitch was. This woman actually called 911 because she was horny. Now, I've never done this before. I don't know if any woman has ever been bold enough to actually call 911 and call the police to come over and offer them sex. But this bitch did. Her name is Maria Montanez Collins. She's 58. Arrested for abusing the 911 system when she called police with a bogus story. Something about her husband, you know, her late husband passed away or whatever. So I guess this is one of the reasons why, you know, she was lonely, feeling horny or whatever. You know, her husband had passed away. And she said something about her son stole their the brand new convertible or something that, you know, was her late husband's. And she, you know, called 911 and, you know, with this bogus story. And when the cop showed up to her house, she started fondling this man and asked if he was married and asked him to have sex with her. And I mean, if that doesn't piss you off enough, right? You thinking, you know, because, you know, cops, they have very busy, you know, lives and shit. You know, they got people that are actually going out there killing people and, you know, raping and doing all this shit. This horny bitch called 911 because she was horny. And if that didn't piss him off enough, you got to get a look at this bitch. This would piss me off. I would just arrest her just for looking like this. Okay. Now, come on now. Like, are you serious, dude? No, not.
I guess she was like, it's free.
Yeah. And so then she, so the guy turned her down. He was like, okay. And this was somewhere in Mexico. I can't remember what part of Mexico. But anyway, she, if that wasn't enough, so the guy turned her down and he just left. So she got pissed off and decided to call 911 again and ask them to send another cop. And when the dispatcher asked, why do you want another cop to come over? She said, because the other one turned her down. So then they got two cops to come over, but only this time they got pissed off and arrested the bitch for misusing the 911 system. Now, I remember one time when back in my stripper days, I remember one night we were getting fucked up at this one place that I worked at called the Sunset Strip. And I remember being so drunk, and I wasn't driving at the time, but I remember being so drunk and I actually taking a taxi home. And I remember actually I was wearing a dress that night, you know, out of the club, and I didn't have on any underwear. And I remember sitting in the back of the taxi and I was feeling horny too. And when the taxi driver pulled up to my house, I actually had my legs open in the back seat, and I was like hitting on him too. That's how fucked up I was, girl. That's how fucked up I was. He turned me down. Now I don't look like that bitch.
He probably didn't want to, you know. Realized you're
intoxicated.
State of mind.
Yeah, I'm so glad he didn't, because he really could have, you know. And I was like, well, come on. I was so touching, like, come on. I don't know what the, I mean, Vlad back in the day, he would make some really, really strong ass drinks. And he would make this one drink that I swear to God, like three sips of those things. And I was like fucked up. So I had like a few of those drinks. I think it was a slow night at Sunset Strip. We were all getting fucked up. And yeah, you know, those kind of drinks that he was making at the time will make a bitch want to like get horny and get fucked by just about anybody. And I'm so glad that the taxi driver did not take me up on my advances. So yeah, you know, I feel for Maria, you know, sorry that, you know, her husband, you know, passed away or whatever, and that she had to resort to such extremities as calling the fucking cops to satisfy. I mean, damn, couldn't she, I don't know, what could she have done in that situation besides, you know, calling, I mean, that is very creative. I don't know, what the hell
called
could she have
friend?
Done?
I don't know, yeah. Is that too embarrassing too,
I don't think so, calling a friend, no, I don't think
I'd
so.
I'd be more embarrassed by having a story on the news.
Yeah.
Or, you know, getting arrested for that.
Exactly. So, yeah, I don't know, that's pretty fucking crazy. So the next story here actually is pretty trippy also. And this one takes place in India. And I've been reading the story over and over and over and over and over again. It's about a woman, April 14th, 2014. This woman had a rare condition that gave her 50 orgasms a day. Yes. Can I say it again? 50 orgasms a day. There is nothing like an orgasm as long as it is limited to one or two, right? I mean, like a couple multiples, whatever. But 50 orgasms in a day end up becoming a pain in the wrong place.
Was she doing it to herself, or it was one of those people that, you know, I don't know if you've heard of it, that they can orgasm like on the spot or something, or just by thinking, not even touching themselves?
It's called persistent genital arousal disorder. And so like she could be, I don't know, she could be washing her hair, like just like the mere touch of something will make this bitch go into 50 orgasms.
I don't know if I'm okay with that.
I don't know if I'm okay with that either. I mean, orgasms feel great, right? If you have like one or two, just like they said. But 50 consistent orgasms, like, damn, I don't, that would make me tired and hurt and numb and sensitive. And
not want to have orgasms.
Yeah. So. She's been having them since she was 6 years old. Six.
I wonder what her thought was at six.
I know.
I didn't know about orgasms at six.
Like she's sitting in elementary school. All of a sudden she's, like, what the fuck, you know?
Like during nap time or something?
Yeah. She's all of a sudden, she's like having orgasms and coming on herself. Well, she was 6 years old. She didn't have any cum or anything back then. But, and then the real fucked up thing is, so now she's with this guy. She's 24 years old. This guy is 2 years below her, 22. And, you know, he's a very understanding boyfriend. I guess you would have to be. And he, you know, now they have to practice abstinence. Where's the irony in that shit? They can't even fuck her.
Wait, why?
Because they're trying to find the cure for
sex is completely out of the
sex
table?
Is completely out of the program. So he probably can't even kiss her, because, you know, it'll arouse something too. So he can't touch her, anything. She'll just go into these like mad orgasms.
I wonder if it's something that was passed down to her, or something that her, I don't know, her body just,
it's just something
adapted
that,
to or something. Yeah, it's just caught, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know, something that she was just born with, that, but damn,
Because that, I feel like that would be something you're born with.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's something like, that, it's nothing that she contracted or anything. It's just something that she was born with. I mean, 6 years old and you're coming. You don't even know what's going on at 6 years old. But, yeah, that's pretty fucking crazy. So, so her and her boyfriend, they have to practice abstinence. He can't touch her. He can't, you know, kiss her, can't do anything. He just has to be an understanding boyfriend until they find a cure for this. And I'm like, what kind of cure can you find for somebody not having orgasms besides just not touching them at all? What the fuck? Like, what kind of medicine or something, you know, just to numb her up or something? I don't know.
That would suck, though, because mm-hmm. that would mean she would have to take that for life.
Yeah. For the rest of her life, yeah. So she can't have any more orgasms. So I think that would kind of fuck
and
up her life,
and it might even affect, like, when she wants to have orgasms, yeah. like when her and her boyfriend are having sex.
It might numb her up for life.
And she won't be able to orgasm or something, you know?
Yep, exactly. So, yeah, pretty crazy shit right there. So, yeah, I don't know. It's pretty, pretty crazy. I don't know. I'm glad that I don't have that kind of, I wish I could, I don't know, not, I don't really wish that I could have like a couple just like on demand like that, because no, I want to be in control of my shit, and I don't want to be, you know, coming like just, you know, sitting on a blue line or something all of a sudden, like come having orgasms and shit in front of strange people. Nope. So this next story is about a man who actually shoved a 10-centimeter stick up his ass as some kind of bizarre treatment. His name is Martin. I cannot pronounce his last name because I don't know, Malazi or something like that. Anyway, Martin M., 58, who has been following a bizarre ritualistic treatment. What kind of ritualistic treatment could there be for somebody to stick a 10-centimeter stick up their ass? I don't know, but we're gonna find out. Ritualistic treatment is living with a stick up his anus in Nigeria, of all places, right? Martin is a resident of the Thakwano area of Plumtree. He was admitted to the United Baloa Hospital in excruciating pain in January of this year. After he inserted wheel bearings just above his elbows on the advice of some self-styled traditional healer, basically a motherfucking witch doctor. Now, you know, these people are into some fucking crazy shit, but, you know, I wouldn't listen to somebody telling me to stick wheel bearings in my skin anywhere. It's crazy. His condition worsened when the bearings interrupted blood flow and caused swelling in his arms. As a part of the treatment, the self-styled healer had asked Martin to insert bearings just above his elbows and a 10-centimeter stick up his ass. His ass. Now, for months later, the stick is tormenting Martin. Now, wouldn't you think, first of all, I would have to get a second opinion if somebody told me to stick any kind of stick or anything up my ass. I would have to look for a second opinion, because there's no way I'm sticking a stick up my ass and have to live with it. That's crazy. Okay, so it tormented Martin. In a news report, Martin was reported as saying, "The traditional healer prescribed me to insert two bearings in each arm and a stick in my ass." It says anus, but of course I'm going to say ass. "I smeared soap on the hands, inserted bearings up up to about his tricep area level and a stick in my buttocks. I'm in terrible pain, especially when I try to relieve myself." When he tries to go and take a shit, he's in terrible pain.
Yeah. Yeah, no shit.
Now, this is what people mean when they say, get the stick out of your ass. Like, this motherfucker right here. That is just crazy. What he says when he tries to go and relieves himself, he feels the stick is prickling his insides. Then why don't you shit the motherfucker out or something. Like, Martin, however, refuses to divulge the nature of his ailment, so much that even his family doesn't know what he's suffering from. He's suffering from a stick up his ass, people. As his arms swelled from the bearings being in his elbows, Martin refused to go to a proper doctor. Now, this motherfucker is being hard-headed, okay? It's not one thing, okay? Now you're swelling up because some asshole told you to put bearings in your fucking arms, but now you got to stick up your ass that you can't pass through, you can't take a shit or anything, and now you're being a hard-headed motherfucker and you won't go to a real doctor, you're still listening to this motherfucker, then you deserve that fucking stick up your ass. He was finally taken to Plumtree District Hospital on the verge of death. So it had to go to the verge of death before this motherfucker actually went to the hospital. At the hospital, doctors told him that he could have died or they would have been forced to amputate his arms if they had delayed a few more days. Wow. Martin Rose was released from the hospital a few days later. However, during his stay there, he did not disclose to the doctors that he had this stick up his ass.
It's too embarrassing.
Yeah, but he's living in fucking pain. He can't take a shit. The thing is prickling his ass, his rectum, his prostate. He can't take a shit. It's like all he would do is just tell him to turn over and open up his ass and get it out of there. I mean, don't you want to live in comfort, motherfucker? You're crazy. And so his family keeps trying to plead with him until this day. Martin, get the stick out of your ass. Martin, literally, get the stick out of your ass. He won't listen. So now he's walking around living with the stick, 10-centimeter stick, up his ass. And he can't even sit down like how we're sitting. He can't sit down. He has to lay down because he's too hard-headed to get the stick out of his ass.
That's stupid. I'm sorry.
So, Martin, you stupid motherfucker, if you're out there with that stick still up your ass, you deserve that fucking stick up your ass because you won't listen to nobody. You are a hard-headed son of a bitch. So, yeah, Martin, much luck to you with that shit. The next story is a pretty bizarre story. All right. So a man sues his wife for giving birth to ugly babies.
I heard about this, actually. I think it's an old... Is this a newer, recent one?
This one's in 2013, November 26. It's an Asian family, a Chinese family.
Yep. Yeah. That's the one I heard about. Yeah. That's the most stupidest thing I've ever heard a man could do.
On this picture, she's very pretty. Like, they're both very good-looking people. You see, they're very good looking people. But what you don't know is that the wife actually had undergone $100,000 worth of face surgery. And she never once decided to tell her husband the whole time that they were together. And so when they start having birthing babies, she started birthing babies. These babies were coming out looking like, well, let's show the picture again, like that. I don't know. Can you see? Yeah. So, and then there's a picture. It's so sad. I don't know. I wouldn't even say like they're down. They look down syndrome. It's like just like very bad genetics somehow. And, but yeah, her picture down here, look at her before and after picture. Sorry if you guys are not, don't have video or whatever, but yeah, she's not very cute. Damn. Isn't that like a hell of a transformation? She's pretty as hell now, but... Ooh, almost dropped that. She's pretty as hell now, but I mean, back in the day, she was ugly as fuck. And she never told her husband, hey, honey, you know, before we start birthing babies, I have to let you know that I got some really fucked up genetics. And so, yeah, the husband, you know, was like, okay, after the third baby, he was like, what the fuck? So she finally came clean and told him. And then they went to court, and basically the judge ruled in his favor that she has to pay him $120,000, and he divorced her and went on with his life What do you think about that, Jenny?
I think that's the silliest thing ever, because if you truly loved someone mm-hmm. and like married that person because mm-hmm. of love,
yeah.
there would be no reason for you to complain about how your kids come out. Like,
yeah.
you know, he must have only seen her and said, oh my God, our babies are going to be gorgeous.
Yeah.
And he's just wanted her for that, you know?
Well, he said, he's like, I really loved my wife and everything, and I wanted to have kids. But then he was like, I guess, like, after she had the one kid, then he's like, you know, all of a sudden, it's like, damn, these fucking kids are ugly. Like, you know, and she had like two more, and he's like, what's going on? You know?
Yeah, that's still not a reason.
I know, that's not a reason to sue her or leave her. Obviously, yet, like, you're right. Maybe he was with her just for her looks.
And my thing, it's like, haven't you met your families? And I don't yeah. know, because me and my boyfriend, like, we've seen pictures of us as kids.
Yeah.
And, you know what
me
I mean?
Me and my husband, like, too, yeah. So
that's why this might have just been something that was arranged or...
Yeah. We decided not to have kids because we're both fucked up in the head. He's worried that our kids would grow up and come back and kill us. So we already know what's up.
That's a smart plan. I don't think a lot of adults think about that.
He's always like, what, you want our fucking kids to come grow up and come back and kill us? It's in our sleep. He watches too many of those like murder stories, like Snapped and that kind of shit. So that kind of shit gets in his head. But yeah, you know, I don't see where it would be where somebody would want to, you know, divorce somebody over having ugly children. I mean, that's just the way it, you know, that's just the way the cookie crumbles sometimes, you know. You should just always love your kids no matter what, you know.
And it's kind of shitty that he said that they're ugly because they're still his kids.
Yeah, like, he called them ugly straight up. Like, we have an ugly ass kids. I don't want no part of this.
Yeah, no, that's just.
That's really shallow. Shitty.
Yeah,
shallow.
Completely.
Mm-hmm. So on that note, those are the crazy stories. When we come back, we're going to take a little break. When we come back, we're going to get into my crazy stripper's nightmares. All right, right after this. What did I do? You're enjoying the Headbangers Ball there, but yeah, so let's get to some crazy stripper horror stories of mine. So yeah, like I said before, you know, I don't have any filter when it comes to me and letting you guys know who I am or whatever and where I come from, whatever. I have no bones about that. I will tell you exactly, you know, everything. I'm not ashamed to have done what the fuck I've done, because it brought me here, and you know, I'm very happy to still be here and be able to talk about it. So yeah, I used to be a stripper. I got into it by default, actually, because I'm a professional dancer, and I was always kind of wonder, you know, what it would be like, kind of, you know, I was always wondering what it would be like to be a stripper. And I actually met a girl on my way when I was leaving Texas. It was the second time that I had moved to Texas for like a year or so. And I was on the Greyhound bus. And this girl had came from like Atlanta or somewhere like that. She had like a little waist, big old ass, you know, like basic, you know, Atlanta type shit, you know. And we became friends on the way from on the Greyhound bus, and she was a stripper. So, you know, here it is, a stripper and a, you know, regular, you know, a dancer, you know, professional dancer. So I was asking her, like, picking her brain about it, you know, and she was telling us she made all this money, you know. So, I mean, what woman, what person does not want to make a lot of money? So, like, you know, with me being a professional dancer, you don't get paid all that much. You know, like, you do a couple shows here and there, and back then it's like they were paying maybe $50, $100, you know. You don't really get that much work, too. So it's like, you know, it's kind of hard to live. So I was, you know, I was skeptical. I wanted to try it. So I went out and, you know, the first place I worked at, you guys probably know if you live in California or, you know, if you guys are local, you've heard of the Seventh Veil. Very popular. The Motley Crue song, Girls, Girls, Girls. They talk about the Seventh Veil. That was the very first strip club. It was a nude club that I worked at. And, you know, I was like, I wasn't a very good stripper when I, my first couple times, because I still had that, like, that flash, that flare of, like, you know, like a dancer, you know, like, hi. You ever watch Showgirls, girl? You ever seen the movie Showgirls?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my God. I was like the black Nomi Malone, okay? Like, she was a professional dancer, too, and then she, like, was stripping, and she would come out, and she'd be like, hi, and hee, you know, just, like, all, like, flowing, like, flaring.
Is that weird to do that when you're a stripper?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because you're coming
out. Because doesn't that add on, like, I would think that would add on to the, like, theatrics of it, like, or whatnot.
You know what? Actually, guys like it better when you're like that, when you're a newbie and, like, you're coming up, because it's like you're fresh. You know what I mean? You're not, like, tainted like some of, you know, most of the strippers are at that point. So I made pretty good money on stage because, like, I was doing, like, real dancing and stuff, real dance moves and chassés and turns across the floor and shit like that, butt-ass naked. It was, you know, it was interesting. So, yeah, so as I was working at this, at the Seventh Veil, you know, I made a few friends. One friend that was kind of close to me at the time, her name, she went by the name of LaTigra. She was a porn star at the time. And she really, really liked to do anal porn. Like, she, that was her shit. Girl on girl and anal fucking porn. She loved anal. She loved anal so much that when she bent over, she had a huge gaping hole in her ass about the size of a silver dollar. And it looked like that. It was, like, very deep, and the hole was like that. I swear to God. It looked like that. It looked like you were looking inside someone's colon, because, you know, it has those rings. You could see her fucking colon. I was like, LaTigra, like, girl with some panties on or something, because she would bend over in front of guys and you can see straight down. You can see what the bitch ate a couple hours ago.
Did she ever get any complaints?
No, guys would just, when she bend over like that, guys would just, like, look, and they would kind of, like, jump back a little bit, because I swear,
like, whoa, like, there's a hole.
Yeah, like, something's about to shoot out that motherfucker. Like, seriously. And it was just, I swear to God, it was the size of a silver, like, you could put a silver dollar in there and plug that motherfucker up. It was so bad. And no, guys never complained about it. No, they liked that kind of shit. But she liked doing porn. I mean, she would have, like, big dicks in her ass. Like, there was one guy named Jake Steed. Have you heard of Jake Steed? No, you probably don't watch porn or anything like that, but I'm sure people are familiar with Jake Steed, who has, like, a very huge fucking dick, and it curves up. I actually dated him, too, so it curves up and, like, it's huge. And, like, she loved, you know, having sex with, like, a lot of black guys who had really, really big fucking cocks in her ass. And I'm like, dude, how can you do that? How can you, like, hold your shit? Like, or when you have to shit, do you have to just go right then and there? Like, does it just, like fall out? Because you can't close your ass. And she was like, no, it's fine. And da, 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 da. And she was just like, she didn't care. And it was nasty. So, you know, after I'm getting comfortable with, you know, dancing at the Seventh Veil. You know, it was really fun. And one night we were like on, and it was very, very busy and packed in there, you know. And I'm dancing to like some rap song. I think it was either Tupac or Bone Thugs and Harmony. And there was this guy sitting at the edge of the stage, and he was just all into my act or whatever, all into me and, you know, tipping me. And he looked like a normal guy, actually. He didn't look like nothing freakish, like nothing, you know, that you need to be skeptical about. So I go over to him at this point, like I'm topless, and I got on like a pair of gold G-strings that actually a guy, Busy Bone, had bought me these gold G-strings. If you guys remember, I talked about Busy Bone a couple of weeks ago on the show. But yeah, actually, yeah, because he took me to a bikini shop because I was telling him that I was like going to start dancing or whatever. So he bought me a bikini and he bought me these gold G-string that I was wearing on stage. So I'm dancing and, you know, it's time to like take the bottoms off. So I take the bottoms off and they're on the stage at the edge of the stage where this nut job was. Okay, so I go travel because there's a long stage. So I go and walk over to the other side so that, you know, I can dance or whatever and get my money from the guys on the other side of the stage. All right, so, you know, I finish or whatever, finish my dance, and it's time to wrap up. So I'm collecting the money, and I look over at the edge of the stage where my underwear was supposed to be. My underwear was gone. The dude at the edge of the stage was gone too. I was looking all over the place. Where the hell were my underwear? They were sweaty because I was sweating on stage, and who the hell would want to steal some stinky, you know, they weren't really stinky, but you know, they're musty.
Weird.
Yeah.
People.
Yeah. He's like one of these panty freaks. So I go down there, I can't find my underwear, and one of the guys, it was a business guy, he told me that the guy that was sitting at the edge of the stage that was tipping me all that money grabbed my underwear and ran out the door with my panties. So until this day...
They didn't try and stop him?
No, they said that they saw him, he like grabbed him really quick and bolted out of there. So he just wanted me for my draw. He got the draws all right. Like, what nasty, disgusting person does that? I don't know. There's some gross panty freaks out there. And I don't think...
There's just gross people out there,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, that... like discharge and all that shit. I mean, I could have been on my period or whatever. He still would have took him and been like... So what does he do? He's like sniffs them and then jacks off as he's smelling my pussy. Like, gross. I would never steal somebody's funky draws, but people do it. So, yeah. All right. So we're getting to the next number three. All right. So this is another story that was this is at the Seventh Veil. All right. So I guess, you know, people get a little desperate sometimes. Times are hard. And, you know, you can't get a job anywhere else. You know, you're a lonely mother, probably divorced, whatever. And so you can't make ends meet. So you have to be, you have, what's the in resort? You have to resort to becoming a stripper. So that's what this one woman did. She had to be at least 45 years old. She looked like a housewife. She was heavy set. And she was stripping at the Seventh Veil with us. She had a huge gaping ass. And she would go on stage wearing like just a regular like bra, like one of those like cross your heart bras with a slip and with like panties on. And she would go out there and she would, you know, dance or whatever. And we would just like be like, okay, whatever. So one day, I guess she had to go take a shit before her time on getting on stage. So it was her time. She's on stage. And, you know, the song comes on and she starts taking her, she never took her top off. She always took her bottoms off because she had, you know, a big butt that everybody liked. So she took off her underwear and Lord and behold, she had toilet paper stuck in her ass. Yes. And she's on the stage and she's holding on to the pole, and she's doing like this. She's like grinding her butt. And I'm just, why did I have to be the first one to catch this? I always got to be the first one to catch this fucking crisis, right? So she's there and she's like wiggling her butt or whatever. And you can see like a big, like a wad of toilet paper stuck up her ass. And when she's like moving, her booty is opening and closing. So you can see this toilet paper stuck in there. And I'm just sitting there, I'm rolling, like I'm like on the ground crying. And people are sitting there, like she's turning around and she doesn't know why the these businessmen are sitting here laughing at her. Yeah.
That sucks. Did you tell her?
So my friend finally did after we laughed our asses off. But I'm like, should we tell her? Should we tell her? And they're like, no, don't tell her. I'm like, I don't know. Somebody should tell her because she's just like wiggling her butt in people's faces. And they're like going, oh, like jumping back like, oh, no, you know. But yeah, she had some toilet paper stuck.
That's
up
pretty
in that
embarrassing.
Ass.
Did she strip after that?
Yeah, actually, my friend finally went up there. The Tigra went up and finally, like, whispered in her ear. She's like, you got some toilet paper stuck up your ass. She was like, oh, okay. And then, so somebody gave her, I guess, some baby wipes or whatever to go take care of that.
But after that, like, she wasn't embarrassed or anything.
No.
Well, that's good for her. More
yeah,
power to her.
She had, I mean, you know, the girl, she had confidence or whatever. She got up there and she would get lab dances too. Sometimes she would get more lab dances than me. So I guess some men like that, you know, like they like that housewife type, you know.
They like toilet paper.
Yeah, they like toilet paper in their ass. Oh my God, that was like the best thing ever. Oh, okay, so moving on. Now, this is not so much of a nightmare. This is actually like a really weird like coincidence. But when I was working at Sunset Strip, one night, I don't know, it was like a really weird night one night. And did you know that I actually met my husband in the strip club before I met him again? Yeah.
No, I haven't heard your story, actually.
Yeah, okay, well, I'm about to tell it. Well, so we're in, I'm at Sunset Strip. And I remember, like, it was a really trippy night. When girls were like, it was very weird. It was like a smoky night. That's all I remember. And I remember playing pool. I wish actually he could be in here. And I love to play pool. My husband and his brother-in-law at the time, he was married before me. His brother-in-law had come into Sunset Strip because I think they're on their way to a Robin Trower concert or something that was in Hollywood or somewhere at a Super Bowl, somewhere like that. So they decided, I think after that, after the concert, they just moseyed on into Sunset Strip. And there I was, this unsuspecting girl, you know. And he remembers me, but I don't remember him. But I remember playing pool with these two guys who were really, really, really cool, but they did not want lab dances. But they kept buying me, Bud Lights? Because I loved to drink Bud Lights at the time, and pistachios, and there was a long line around the corner to get to the bathroom. And I was the ringleader of this line. I will not disclose what I was distributing out to the strippers. But they called me out on it. Pat and his brother-in-law at the time called me out on this. And I was like, no, just girls are like, girl, I don't know. Vlad is feeding us some drinks and we got to, you know, girls got to take a shit. And I was like, no. He was like, no, girls are at the, like, it ain't no, nobody has to shit that bad. Like, it's like a whole line around the fucking, around the block to go use the bathroom. He's like, and then, you know, to psych people out, I had them like coming out of the bathroom and like spraying, like, yeah, everybody just had to shit that night, right? But yeah, we actually met because he told me, he's like, yeah, I remember we were at the Sunset Strip and we were playing with this woman and she had big curly hair, and that was me. I had big curly hair and I wore like this like black see-through, like flowy stuff, kind of like Stevie Nicks-ish looking But, you know, like, you know, sexy stripperish, because I was very, very, very witchy back then, like very witchy. All my clothes were black and they were flowy, and I was really, really fucking gothic back then. Like, seriously, I was, well, yeah, I was into some really deep, like, Wicca shit. I mean, so, yeah, my clothes would, he was like, yeah, I remember, like, this girl, like, walking by and, like, her, she was flowy clothes or whatever. And I was like, that was nobody else there like that. That was me. So that's kind of weird how we actually met a long time ago, you know, and we played or whatever. So I guess it was just like fate and it was meant to happen or whatever. So, yeah, you know, I was distributing some bad stuff to the strippers, playing it off like we had the shit. And I was playing pool with these two guys and drinking Bud Lights and stuff like that. And yeah, so that's our story. We actually met at the strip club a long time ago before we actually met. So on that note, I'm going to take another quick break. And then when we come back, I'm going to end my story and tell you guys how I met Morris Day there. ladies and gentlemen. I am back. I hope you guys are enjoying the Headbangers Ball on Delia's Dark Side. If you want to give me a shout out, you can. The number here is 800-893-9562. Or you can go to my Delia's Dark Side Facebook page. It is a private group, so you can request to be let in, and I will let you in. It's Delia's Dark Side Radio, Delia's Dark Side Radio Show, something.com like that. You'll find it on Facebook, and I will let you in. I have no problem doing that. And yeah, I post my podcast from here, whatever, on there, whatever, and just talk about whatever random shit that's on my mind. Any kind of drunken thoughts or anything like that I have in my head, because I usually like to post on that page when I'm drunk. So what the fuck and shit and whatever, and you'd be like, okay, she's drunk. But yeah, so you can go to Delia's Dark Side Radio radioshow.com on Facebook and request to be let in. And I will be more than happy to do that. So the last story, one of my favorite strip club stories of all time. And this was actually this was like winding down. This was a very good break for me, like a good end for me at the strip club. I met one of my idols. One of my idols walked in to Sunset Strip. Morris E. Day walked in. Okay, everybody knows, I don't know if you guys know or not, but everybody knew at Sunset Strip that I was a big, and I still am, big time Prince fan. Like, I got all this stuff, whatever. I used to play all his music all the time, all day long at Sunset Strip. They'd be like, damn, don't you have anything else but Prince? But at that time, my music library wasn't that wide like it is now. If I knew back then what I know now, oh, I would be kicking ass in that strip club. But yeah, I used to play a lot of Prince or whatever. So one night, it was actually a really dead night at Sunset Strip. I think it was like a Wednesday or something. So we're sitting there. I'm sitting at the bar, right? And I'm just like drinking one of these, like, you know, I think I was drinking like a Long Island iced tea or something. Sitting there just like, okay, we want some guys to come in. Like, what the fuck? And, you know, it was really dead. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting there chilling. Over here, in walks Morris E. Day with, like, one of his friends. And I was like, what the fuck? Everybody just, like, perked up. They were like, Camille, because that's the name I went by. Camille, oh, my God, Camille. And everybody was just, like, laughing at me and, like, pointing at me because they knew that, like, you know, I'm, like, a big fan of, like, this whole, like, group or whatever. So he walks in, and I was just like, my face was like, but I'm not like one of these, like, you know, girls that like go jumping on, you know, celebrities and stuff like that, because I know they like their space, whatever. So let the man, you know, sit down. He sat down like one chair away from the stage, him and this guy that he walked in with. And they sat one chair away from the stage. And it was funny because it was my turn to go on stage right when he sat down. So I was like, oh, you know, I'm going to milk this shit. So I played two of his songs. One song was Get It Up. And then I played like another song that wasn't like that popular because, you know, when you're a fan, you don't just play a popular song. You play like, you know, stuff like offbeat shit too, you know. So I played like another offbeat song. And, you know, I was dancing and he was digging the fact that I was playing his music and stuff. And he like, you know, tipped me like, you know, I think it tipped me pretty big. I think it was like a $20 tip or something like that. So I was like, cool, you know, and I was having a good time and he was there just watching and, you know, drinking or whatever. So when he was the only one actually that tipped, go figure, right? He was the only one that tipped. So, you know, when I got off stage, I went over and I was sitting next to my, I was sitting by my friends and we were sitting at the back of the club and he's, you know, right, you know, sitting like next to the stage. So one of my girls said, you know what, you better go over there and like and start talking to him or do something before Raina gets him. And Raina was like one of these like sharks. She was like a lap dance shark. She would like jump on everybody that walked in and like, you know, hustle them for a lap dance. So she was like, so my friend was like, you better go over there and sit with him and talk to him or something before Raina gets him. And I was like, oh, shit, you're right, huh? So I went over there and I thanked him for the tip. And he was like, yeah, he was like, so he was like, I appreciate you playing that. He was like, but why did you play that off the wall, you know, song? I was like, I always play off the wall songs from, you know, you guys. It's like, I'm a, you know, a fan. I don't just like the popular stuff. He was like, cool. He was like, have a seat. I want to buy you a drink. Yay, right? So I was like, whoop, whoop, sat down. And, you know, we're chilling and talking and whatever. And I'm just like talking to him like, you know, he was a regular guy. Because you guys don't know this, but a few years prior to Morris Day, I actually kind of, I wouldn't say dated, but I was really good friends with Jerome, you know, the sidekick. I met him somewhere like in 7-Eleven, of all places. I met him at 7-Eleven, and he got in front of me in line or something like that. And I was like, oh, excuse me. He was like, oh, no, excuse me. And I recognized that voice, and we started talking, but that's another show. But anyway, so... So we're sitting there and I'm like, okay, well, you know what? This was the funny thing. This is irony, right? Okay. I had some haters in that club, like a few girls that didn't like me. Now this was to show those bitches. I really showed these bitches. So I was like, okay, you haters over there that want to hate on me or whatever, stay over there. But the girls that are down with me, come over here and hang out with Morris Day. So all my friends were sitting over there and we were like, you know, he bought us all around the drinks. He's cool as shit, dude. I was asking him, of course, questions about Prince. I'm like, so, it was some weird girl that was there too that his friend had. This girl, she kind of seemed like she was like, kind of like a groupie, like crack whore, coke, not crack whore, coke whore. You know what I mean? She was like, looked like she was like on something. So I was asking him, I was like, what's up with her? He's like, oh, that's my brother's, I think he called him his brother. He's like, that's my brother's girlfriend or whatever. I'm like, dude, she's like really tripping. She actually got on the stage and did like some funky, freaky dance. And Morris kind of seemed like he was really embarrassed. He was like, oh, shit. You know, like, why'd she get her ass up on stage? Like, nobody asked her to do that. And then she was really drunk, too. She got off the stage and... she was trying to get attention, I guess, because, you know, everybody was paying attention to us. You know, we're strippers or whatever. And, you know, Morris's attention, whatever, was on us. She, you know, wanted to get the attention back. So she was, you know, giving her man a lap dance or whatever and knocked Morris's drink off the table and onto his suit. He was pissed. He jumped up like, I swear to God, like in a movie, like he was going to like backslap her or pimp slap her or something, dude. He was like... you bitch, now sit your ass down. Like, he was like, sit your ass down. Yeah, she was fucked up. She embarrassed the hell out of herself. So I had my girl sitting there. At the time, we were just getting ready to start our band called Elements. And yeah, so I'm going to wrap that story up. Actually, it was a really cool story. So yeah, so in that, and when I left with a bang because I met Morris Day. So, on that note, thank you guys for listening to Delia's Dark Side, and I am out of here.
Delia's gone, one more round, Delia's gone.